since we have a shortened evening tonight, I'd like to just give you a couple of thoughts as we begin our camp journey. So let's just take a few minutes and go back in time to eternity past. I think a lot of times we think about eternity future because that's where we're going. All of us will live forever, either redeemed in God's presence or unredeemed in judgment. But we don't often think of going back in time. Maybe you've tried that exercise, and after a few moments, your mind just kind of fizzles out a little bit, and it's hard to process. For me, anyway, I think it's easier for me to look forward in eternity, although that's beyond our understanding. But when I try to think going back, because no beginning for God, how does that happen? Everything has beginning and end. But going back, where did God come from? Just hard to comprehend, but there was a time before time and space that God was. And what was happening then? What was God doing without creation, without mankind, without the plan that we see unfolding for us in Scripture? Just God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't have an answer for that. If you do, you can send an email. I'd love to hear it. But to think of eternity past, where it was only God, and somewhere, somehow, I don't know that God ever has a new idea. And so that's another baffling thing. If this idea and plan was always, again, I can't explain that, but there was a plan that God had to create. We read about that in the beginning of Genesis, of course. And God begins to speak into existence creation. But what is the purpose of it? If God is self-existent and God has no need of anything or anyone, He had no need for this, and He had no need for us. But there was something that He desired, and we will not have the opportunity to try to delve into that tonight. That's a lifelong study. But there was something that God desired in creating. And it wasn't a need that He had, but in this plan, God determined that He would put a world, a universe together. It was not random. It was not a whim. But God created. And we know that in all of the things that He created on day six, He created man. And sometimes, and I know it's a world philosophy, we believe that man was just part of creation. And some go as far to say that we're a problem in creation. And we don't live right, and we don't do right, and we don't take care of the environment right, and this isn't our place, and stop building houses because the deer are getting pushed out, and so we have no business really ruling over creation, but we see that's not the case in God's Word. God put everything in place so that man could be created and sustained in this universe, so that God could have fellowship with us. God could relate to us. God could love us. God could bless us. God ultimately would die for us. This was plan A, not plan B. And when, at least for me, when I begin to try to ponder thoughts like that, it again is beyond my understanding as to God. That's an awful lot of sacrifice on your end. That you would do all of this so that you could fellowship with puny man And not only that, but you would ultimately die for us. It doesn't make sense, but in the big picture, God is bringing glory to himself in all of this. But the point tonight is, in this not the understanding that we cannot have, and the processing of this, God desires to be with us, and he desires for us to be with him. And from before time and space began, God said, I want my children, my people, my creation, man and woman, to be in this unique relationship with me. And then we know sin. Through Adam, sin comes, and there is a separation. And God's plan was to restore fellowship, and that's the whole story of the Bible, right? Restoring fellowship through the death of his son. His desire is that we have communion and relationship again, unbroken. And in the course of the narrative of Scripture, God's plan and purpose was to bring us near to him again. If you're not aware, if you didn't get a camp booklet, the devotional for this year, or you haven't heard or seen, our theme is draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What a command, and what a promise that God has given us. That's James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, your creator, the one who is all-powerful and all-loving and all-good and all-holy and all-wise, who is perfect, who is righteous, the one who is so separate from us and his creation, calls us to draw near to him. I think tonight is a good night to assess self. We're going to hear this theme. If you're here for some of you, I know I've heard three periods. Some are here for the whole summer. You're going to hear this several times, I'm sure, about drawing near to God. We hear it on in every year, but this year it's our theme again: draw near to God. So as I was giving thought to these couple of weeks and the theme for this year, I had to kind of step back and look at John Prah. Am I? Have I? Will I? Am I where God wants me to be in him? Am I where I want to be in him? And I could say no to both. And I think if all of us would look inwardly, say, is where I am today, June 27th, is where I am today where God wants me to be in him? Did he set up this entire plan of redemption from eternity past? Did he go through the whole story that he gives us in Scripture, ultimately sending his son to die on a cross to redeem me? Is he satisfied with where I am? He went through all of that so that I would be in fellowship and communion with him again. Is he pleased with John Prah that I have done all I can to draw near to him and to put my place, myself in a place where we're in that fellowship that is unbroken and pure and sweet? And I don't, not the way I ought, not all the time. And so you need to check your heart in these days, tonight. Say, God, here I am again. Thank God for another year. It went fast, didn't it? But here we are again, and we have an opportunity in a place that's just set apart, and we've set our time apart, and we've put some things aside so that we could be here and be in God's presence and seek after him in ways that we don't always have opportunity when we're at home. But what does God want from me? What does God want to do for me in these days and weeks? And will I put myself in a place that I can receive all that God has for me? Or will I shortchange me and leave here with less than God wants? Drift is a natural thing. We sing the song. What's the title again? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. What's the title of that one? Come Thou Fount. Thank you. I had it before in my head and then it lost it. Come Thou Fount of every blessing. And there's the confession of that author that wrote it. I am prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. I'm prone to drift. I'm prone to get consumed with the things of this world that distract me. It's our natural state. If we don't make the effort, if we don't determine, and if we are not proactive, we will grow distant from God. This is a discipline and a labor. There are hindrances to drawing near. We're surrounded by them. If it's not the devil doing it, and I don't like to give too much credit to the devil for anything, but I know sometimes, well, back in the day, it's old, right? The devil made me do it. You have to be really old to remember that little saying. But we can blame the devil for things that I don't need help with. My flesh draws me away from God. That's our instinct. That's our makeup. And so we need to strive to be in a place where we're seeking after God and drawing near to God. Matthew 13 gives us a parable of the sower and the seed. And you can read through that. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. But there's a seed, the word of God, that is planted in thorny ground. It says that seed will begin to take root and sprout. But it says that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, that just doesn't mean you're worried about things. But it's just saying that we're consumed and we're distracted and our focus is on the things of this world, whatever it might look like, rather than the things of God. How many of you get distracted and you're not looking to God all the time in every situation? Your heart is not always toward God. You're allured by the things of this world. And we don't check ourselves. And listen, this is, like I said, this is our tendency. So this is not judgment. This is not, you're terrible. This is our bent. And we need to do something about that. We need to bring it to God, and we need the power of His Holy Spirit to work in us to reshape. And so some of us, we struggle with work. That becomes our drive. That becomes a thing that distracts us. We wake up early. We come home late. We're consumed with projects, things that we have to get done, worried about tomorrow's meetings, worried about promotions, working harder, taking overtime, all of those things that drive us. We're consumed with play and your hobbies. I've got a few. And it could be the thing that you're just driven toward. Education, the years that you spend completely consumed with that. And I understand there's a season for all of these things. But when these things begin to consume us and draw us away from God and drawing near to Him, entertainment, social media, sleep and sloth, that's a problem. Hobbies, about worry, anxiety, fear. Does that ever pull you away from God? That seems to be one of the things most often talked about in today's world. Even children and young people never used to be like this, but they're consumed with anxiety and fear because of the way the world imposes itself in our minds and our thinking. We go to bed at night and our minds start running and going down rabbit holes, all the what ifs. Our child is doing this, and what if that happens, and what about that relationship that they're in, and what about my spouse, what about my job, what about my health, what about the future? All of these things that begin to just creep in and take hold of our hearts that we can't let go of, and it draws away. Jesus is saying the thorns are the cares of life. So fill in the blanks. I didn't mention them all, right? We all have cares that consume our thinking. They consume our days, our energy. So when you want to sit and pray, and I've been there, there are seasons where you feel so overwhelmed and you feel like you can't even pray, you can't even read God's word. You try, you want to, you open it, but your mind is just drawn, your emotions are just drawn away. How do we bring these things under submission? How do we walk through those seasons without falling away and having the word of God that wants to bring life to us choked out because of the things of this world? Even serving God can choke out our relationship with him. You know, being here at camp is not a magic formula. It's not a magic moment. You can be here at camp serving God the whole summer and still not draw near to him. Martha did. Jesus came to her house, and she was consumed with serving him. And she actually got a little bit irritated at her sister, and probably a few others around. Am I the only one going to serve Jesus here? Am I the only one doing a good thing? You're all just sitting around, just being happy in his presence. That's rude. And Jesus spoke truth to her. I know you're familiar with this, right? Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. But there's one thing that's needful. You know, while you're here at camp, there's one thing that's needful. One thing. One thing. David said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. To be in your presence, to be in your temple, to know you. One thing. With all the other things we have to do, there needs to be one thing that overrides it all. One thing that drives us. One thing that wakes us up in the morning. Not a trumpet, not an alarm clock. Not somebody knocking on your door telling you overslept, hurry up. One thing should wake us up in the morning. Will I draw near to him today? Will I draw near to him this summer? That's God's desire for us. Here are a couple ways to do it. We're going to end early so you can get to your staff meeting early and you can go to bed early. But here are a couple ways that we could draw near to God. Have you ever heard this verse and maybe heard a sermon, draw near to God? We sing the songs, draw near to God. And then you're not sure exactly how to do that. Does it mean we just sit here and wait and think or pray or hope something's going to happen? What actually helps us to draw near to God? What are the things that we need to do? Is it just being the last one out of the lodge after the evening meeting because we've waited on God? That's good. We need to do that. We will do that. But is that what draws me near to God only? Is it just being in a posture of waiting? That's part of it. But there are a lot of other things that Scripture gives us that help us to draw near to God. And so maybe one or more of these things, and there are more, but maybe they'll help you and help me to say, listen, I've not been great at this, or I've been too consumed with the cares of this world, and so I haven't practiced these disciplines. But maybe some things that you can do even beginning tonight that this thing, though it seems maybe disconnected from James 4:8, but this thing, this practice, this discipline, this behavior will put me in a place where God will draw near to me. Repentance should be a daily thing, right? We should be walking in repentance. But maybe very specifically, there are things in your heart, and you're coming here, and you know it's weighing you down spiritually. There are things that God has put his finger on and say, this thing is keeping you from me. This thing is sin. This thing you need to turn from. This relationship, this person, this activity, these thoughts. And I'm calling you to repentance. You will not be able to come near, right? The whole way to God is through sacrifice. It's through coming. Old Testament was bringing your animal sacrifice. New Testament, we come through Christ. But we don't get near God until we recognize we are a sinner that needs a sacrifice. And so we're coming to Jesus first and foremost because we cannot access the presence and person of God until Jesus Christ has done a cleansing work in my heart. And so some of us need to go back to that discipline of daily repentance, moment by moment repentance. And some of you here tonight, you know you're carrying the burden of sin. You're just saying, God, I'm not getting anywhere this summer at camp with you if I don't bring this to an altar, if I don't bring this sin before you, if I don't bring these behaviors, these attitudes, these thoughts, if I don't bring them here, I have nowhere to go in you. Repent. Prayer. Of course, that's probably an obvious one. We draw near to God when we pray. We draw near to God when we read his word. Read the Bible. You're going to do a lot of that up here. If you're on staff, how many times a day you start with devotions and you go and have devotions together, and then we pray, and then we come to meetings, and then we do more, and then you go to bed, and you know, there's this constant. But that's not enough if we're not absorbing, if we're not taking it in. So we read God's word, we study God's word. It's not just let's get through a chapter, but spend time looking at his word, then meditating on his word, right? Memorizing his word. All of these things draw us nearer to God. If we don't do those things, if we don't know his word, that's the only way we can know God. That's the only way he's revealed himself to us, is through his word, by his spirit. And so read his word, study his word, memorize his word, obey his word. Obedience draws us nearer to God. Disobedience, obviously, right? We know disobedience separates me from God. Obedience puts me in a place where God now can draw near to me in relationship, walking by the Spirit, fellowship with God and fellowship with others. This is a great opportunity for fellowship. We love the times that we get to share, not just in meetings, but around tables and meals, which is why sometimes the waitresses poke their head out and see, are they done yet? Can we clean their table? They're still sitting there talking. Sorry. But we love to do that, right? We want to just engage one another, sitting at the beach, going to the boathouse, just the fellowship of fellow believers. That's part of drawing near to God. And you may draw very near to God, and he may draw very near to you in a conversation on the beach in the middle of the afternoon. Don't miss those things. God may be at work in that conversation, in a time of prayer that you just had with somebody on the road, because they shared something and said, let me just pray for you for a moment. And God is drawing near in those moments. Lord's Supper, we'll do that here. We do it for in each period. Fasting, praise and thanksgiving, serving God over the pots and pans. That was my first job at camp when I was 16. God bless you, pot boys. The steam and the sweat coming out of that hot water and no air conditioning in there, and just, it's hard. Some of you, you know, with whatever you're doing, it's not easy work serving and doing. But, you know, it's in moments like that where it seems very earthly and very insignificant. God blesses those moments, and God draws near to us as we serve him, even if we're serving tables. That's Acts 7, isn't it? I think it's Acts 7. I should know that because we're going to be working through the book of Acts this week. But serving tables is an act of worship, and it's an act of obedience, and it's a posture where we're drawing near to God, and he says, I'll meet you over the sink. I'll meet you vacuuming a room. I'll meet you looking after kids swimming at the beach. I will draw near to you in your obedience and your service. So there are a lot of ways in these couple of weeks that we can draw near to God if we will not be consumed with the cares of this world. So some things we need to say, not this week, God. I'm letting this thing go. Maybe it's your social media. That's a hard one for some. Could you imagine if you didn't pick up your phone and check all your social media every couple minutes, see what's going on in the world? But maybe that's a thing that's just distracting you. Maybe because you're up till 2 a.m. doing that. That all of a sudden now, well, I'm tired the next day, and all of these other things that God's calling me to do, I sacrifice that for being up on my screen, or binging, or my hobbies, or whatever else is consuming me in the moment. Maybe God's just saying, listen, here's an opportunity for you to draw near to me without the cares and the distractions. And I promise you, I will draw near to you. So if you bow your heads, here's I think what would be good for us to pray, and you can take this with you. We sing that hymn from the psalm, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart. What are the things, Lord, that are creating distance between us? We know what Adam's sin was in the garden. We know what created distance then. We preach sermons on it, and we know the story. But, Lord, we all have a story, and there's all a thing that we're indulging in, and it's drawing us away from you. It's separating us from our Creator, whose desire and design was that we walk in fellowship. Lord, would you show me those things, Lord, things I'm not even aware of. Some certainly we know. In a moment we can name those things. This has been my struggle. But there are things in our lives that blindside us. The devil is devious. And there are things maybe that are creeping into our lives or have crept into our lives that God would show us maybe tonight, maybe the next few days. This is the thing that's keeping you back. This is the thing that's bringing division between us. We need to deal with this. This needs to be put to death. I desire fellowship, but here's the barrier. And then for some, when these things are shown to us, we're going to need grace and we're going to need courage. Because some of these things have become dear to me. And to let them go and to put them on the altar and to die to them, there are some things I don't want to let go of. sin is pleasurable for a season, but if I'm really wanting the presence of God, if I really want that fellowship restored, God, give me courage. Give me grace. This is hard. Lord, remove that desire. Remove this sin. Break me, O God. Deliver me from bondage and strongholds. So, Lord, I pray for each of us here tonight. Our desire, God, I know our desire is to draw near to you, to know you better, to know your presence, to sit at your feet. I know that's the desire of the hearts that are here, from my heart, God. But there are things that we need to lay down. There are things, Lord, that we need to pick up for life. And so, Lord, reveal to us. Reveal to me, God, that thing, those things that are displeasing, those things that are distracting, those things that are consuming me and they're choking out the fruit that you desire to bear in us. Lord, reveal to some of us those things that are hiding in shadows. Shine your light. Expose that sin, Lord, to us. And then give us your grace, Lord. Give us courage. Whatever the cost, we lay it at the foot of the cross. Lord, thank you for the promise that you give. You so long to draw near to us, not just in this room as a group, but Lord, individually, every one of us here, you want us more. And Lord, we thank you for that. There's a prayer in song. I think it's in the staff book, but it's number 51 in the white book. We can sing as a closing prayer tonight. Number 51. You can stand as we sing this, please.
Oh.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who are not on staff, we can be dismissed, and we ask that you would leave the lodge so that they can begin. If you are on staff, you could stay right where you are, I guess, and you'll begin your staff meeting here. So God bless you. Have a good night, and we will see you tomorrow morning. Thank you.